All right, how's everybody doing this morning? All right, Weston, I'm not going to try to play your guitar here, but I promise you, that's about all I got. I promise you if I walk around like I do that you won't be playing it either after I'm done. But man, I'm excited to be here this morning. Selena, I asked there whenever we had our Fan the Flame meeting, our last one, she was like, do they ever sing I'll Fly Away? And I was like, they will. Can you ask them if they will sing I'll Fly Away? And I'm like, no, because I ask Caleb all the time. And somebody said, well, Caleb won't answer his phone if you ask. I said, yeah, but Natasha will. So I called Natasha up, and I said, Selena, you need to ask. I'm not going to do this, okay? Man, what an awesome morning, and what an exciting morning. We're going to have a baptism this morning. So I am really, really excited for baptism. We were going to take communion. It's our normal morning to take communion, but we are going to push that off until next week. So that we can get everything in line, and we will have two amazing Sundays in a row, and it'll add to the about 125 that we've had here in a row in the past 2 years plus. So I'm really excited for today. Stevie's going to be coming up here, and I promise Stevie, if I didn't drop Chad, I'm not going to drop her either, because that was a true test of strength last time we had a baptism. Chad said, don't drop me. I said, I'm not going to, and I almost lied. Lucky I'm a big boy too, you know, and lucky that us big boys float better than we sink. So, I'm excited. If you guys want to, we're going to continue on in Hebrews. We are entering chapter 4, so if you guys want to open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to give you just a little bit of excitement too. Be praying, because if you notice, this week I've got my whole stack of commentaries. Elijah's got a couple, and I get to hand off most of them to Tyler, because Tyler is going to be preaching next week in the book of Hebrews. And Tyler said that he apparently made a deal with Caleb. Is that right? Caleb's the next week? No? He's like, I'll play. No, but Tyler will be here next week. Be praying for Tyler as he is going to be a vessel up here, just willing to have God speak through him. He said, he gave an example. If anybody's ever watched The Green Mile, whenever one of the main characters there, he just opens his mouth and everything comes out. He said, I'm just going to stand here for 30 minutes with my mouth open, and if God sees fit to talk through it, then I'll let that happen. And even though that seems funny, man, the willingness to get up here and to open your mouth, to be able to allow God to use you, what a blessing. To have faithful men and women in this church that do those sort of things. Hearing that number that out of the 52 churches in the association, that there are 10 of them that are seeking somebody to proclaim the gospel in them, and to know that we have somewhere between 4 and 6 people here in this one small congregation that are willing and able to proclaim the gospel is just, it's amazing. It's such a blessing. It's such a testament to how God's working. But as we go in to chapter 4, we start talking about this word rest again. And this word rest keeps coming up, right? We keep bringing it up. We keep talking about the Sabbath day over and over and over again. And we wonder, why does it keep coming up? And the question is it keep coming up because we have a false idea of what Christianity is at times, right? We think that if we simply come up and we proclaim something, this is something that I talk to Stevie a whole lot about, and I'm using her as an example because she's one of the newest, but I've talked to you guys about it as well, that we have this idea that if we just simply say that we want to be a Christian and we just make the statement and then go live our lives in a regular way, that we're going to enter into that rest as well, and that's so false. It's not true. See, the word itself, your words coming out your mouth, isn't what saves you. The blood of Jesus is what saves you. And in order to be able to have that blood of Jesus poured out into our lives, we actually have to be reborn to be able to enter that rest. So as we read through chapter 4, really sit down and think about where you stand in that rest. Really evaluate what God's speaking in these words. If he's talking to you this morning, ask, God, what do you seek for me to change? What do you seek for me to do? What do you seek out of my life? Where have I maybe gone a little bit astray? Where do I need to get more in depth in? Where do I need to be in a relationship with you to be able to enter that rest? So let's start reading. Hebrews chapter 4 says, therefore, since the promise to enter his rest remains, let us beware that none of you be found to have fallen short. For we also have received the good news just as they did, but the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith. For we who have believed enter the rest in keeping with what he has said. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. Even though his works have been finished since the foundation of the world, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in this way. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. Again, in that passage, he says, they will never enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience, he again specifies a certain day. Today. He specifies this speaking through David after such a long time. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for allowing us to be able to proclaim your word today, Lord, but I also ask that your spirit not only come up here and speak your word, but Lord, also to enter us, to enter our being, to enter who we are, and allow us to take in your word, and not just take it in, but to know that we are your creation, to know that you sent Jesus here to be our Savior, and Lord, for us to have the ability to call upon Jesus to be our Savior and the ability to repent for our sins, Lord, and to be able to enter your rest. Allow us the ability to have faith in Jesus. Name I pray, amen. So as we go in to 4 here, there's a time that I was talking to couple of you here one Wednesday night, and we had some conversation outside of church, but I made a statement. I said, we're in one or of two places, right? We're either in life or we're in death. Either we're destined for rest or we're not destined for rest. One or the two. See, we think of that grave, that tombstone that we'll be in, and you think of that RIP, that rest in peace that'll be placed there. The best part about that rest in peace is that it means so much more if you know what true rest is. So much more. However, not everybody whose tombstone says rest in peace will have the availability to truly rest in peace. The only way to be able to do that is to be in life instead of in death. Well, last week we started talking about today, and the message really seemed to go forward towards people that were totally lost, that had not called on Jesus to be their Lord and Savior, that were new to the gospel, that were trying to figure out where they stood. Maybe God had called on their hearts. But I'm here to tell you that there's another point of living in death, not just the absence of that knowledge where I've never made that statement, but some of us here today, and as we read here in Hebrews chapter 4, some of us are totally content and we think that we are in a great place, but we never entered into true rest. We just entered into a place that sounded good, right? It's like walking into the church but never actually being the church. It's like placing it on your calendar every single week that I am going to go to that building and I'm going to sing those songs and I'm going to enjoy those songs, but I'm never going to be a part of the body of Christ. Those people will not understand rest either. Now, this is not one of those messages where I just want to beat everyone down. As Christians, it is important that we hold each other not only accountable, but we also hold each other in brotherly love. That we say, hey, I know your intentions are right. I know that you think that everything that you're physically doing is right, but is your heart right? Is your relationship with Jesus right? You may think you are acting like a Christian, but you're really acting as though a worldly religious person that may claim to be a Christian. Well, wait a minute. How can you judge people? That's not a judgment. That's a warning. And it is good for us to warn people that we don't get in that place, because we desire, if you look to your left and your right, do you not desire for those people to truly understand and have rest with you? As a matter of fact, in order to understand what rest is, the rest is rest. As a matter of fact, if you go back to the Greek, we've got the word ketoposis. And that word ketoposis, that is what we say as rest, truly means to step away from the work. To step away from the burden of work. And as we go in, as we read, it said, therefore, since the promise to enter his rest, to be able to step away from the worldly work still remains, let us beware that none of you be found to have fallen short. So we read that phrase, beware that none of you be there to be fallen short. What does it mean to be fallen short? See, you can work as hard as you can in the church. You can be the guy on the street corner screaming the gospel at people. You can be the one here before daylight making sure that the baptism's warm. You can be the one that's typing up the slides, the one cleaning the church. You can be the one preaching on stage. You can be the worship leader. You could be Sunday school director. You could be whatever it is and still fall short. You could read your Bible every single second of every day and lift up lofty prayers. You can go help your neighbor and you can still be short. Say, Kirill, well, wait a minute. Aren't those all the things that we dictate or what makes us a good Christian or not? And in earthly terms, it makes you a great earthly religious person. But that's not what we're seeking to be, is it? Like, I don't want to just raise up a group of kids that just are polite kids and don't truly have a relationship with Jesus. It's the saddest thing that I could ever imagine, is that my kids have this false sense of hope that if they're just good enough, they'll get there. Thing is, we won't ever be there. We won't ever be good enough. And then we have this time where we just feel so stressed out and overwhelmed and lost, and the work week has been hard, and we've gone, you know, some of us go Monday through Friday, and some of us go Monday through Thursday or whatever with these hard work schedules. We wake up every morning and we say, we just need to take a break, and we need to just do nothing, and we need to just step back. And God says, you know what? That is not what I'm desiring. I'm not looking for you to look out and say, hey, it's Sunday, I'm so tired, there's someone hurting in the corner that I'm just going to allow them to just keep hurting because I need my day of rest. We take this Christian faith all wrong, and we place it to be something about us when it's actually much more. It's about the Savior of the world. It's about Jesus, not about us. However, because of his love for us, he gives us a time of rest. And I'm here to tell you, Sundays is not your time of rest. Mondays is not your time of rest. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, or Saturdays is not your time of rest. Those are the times that we should equally be going and serving. The time of rest is when our work on earth is over. When God sees fit that our plan is complete on this earth, then we enter his rest. As we go in, you say, well, where does that make sense? How does that, you know, there were six literal days, right? And there was this completion in Genesis, right? Where God comes in and he creates the universe and then he rests on the seventh day. Well, here's the thing. If you go and you read on those six first days, it says there was morning and then there was nighttime, and it completed it a day, right? But when he entered rest, that never completed. That seventh day never completed. Our time here on earth is not about the six specific days. It's about a lifetime in devotion to Christ. It's about a lifetime in love of the gospel. It's about a lifetime of working and helping and feeding and taking care of and glorifying God through those, not just glorifying man through those. And when we do those and we run the race and we win the race, then we have rest for eternity. There is no morning and night. It is eternal rest for us. Eternal rest. There are religions out there that'll tell you that eventually that your work meter will get up high enough, right? So if you work really, really hard at the beginning. Anybody ever do this? Yeah, you go to work and sometimes you're super, super motivated to be able to be lazy in the afternoon, right? When it gets hot, you want to get all your work done when it's still dark outside and cooler. Let's say that. So what you do is you wake up really, really early and you get out there and you go out and you build all the fence, or you put together all the parts, or you change your tires, or you mow the grass, or whatever you do while it's still cool outside, and you get it done so you can run in and rest for the rest of the day. Right? There are religions or thought processes out there that as Christians, if I really do everything while I'm young, while I'm available, if I will come out here and paint the church, or I will, you know, cut the leaves, or I will come up and, you know, maybe preaching is a young man's game, or leading worship, if I'll do all those things when I'm young, later in life I can sit back and relax and just let everything else go. And yet in the same way, whenever you do those things and then after lunch you find out that the tractor broke down or that the boss calls you for something else, it's the worst thing in the world. And you get upset that you had to go climb a set of steps to push another button. You get upset that you had to go to the store and buy some more lawnmower blades. You get upset that you had to go mix the gas for your weed eater again. Kiddos, that's gas is something that we used to be able to afford back in the day. And then we actually went out and everything wasn't electric and we put it into weed eaters. Those are something that some of us used to have to do when we were young, is go out and weed eat and work. We got to do that instead of the fun part, you know, where you guys have like switches, you know, like not like we had literal switches, not the Nintendo switches, where you guys have that and get to work those. We used to be able to go out and actually like weed eat and chop trees, haul wood. It was fun. fantastic. You guys should try it, especially my kids. But we get in that mindset and then we get so frustrated. Well, some of us think that if we put everything now, while we think we have the energy, that everything else we can just lay down. And that's not what God calls us to do. He says, while we're here on this earth, continue to strive, continue to work, continue to keep going on. I don't care if you're 9 years old or 90 years old, that you keep pushing forward, because there will be a day of rest for those that are in Jesus. Do not pause. Do not wait. Do not think that this afternoon that we can just step back away because the service was done. As a matter of fact, if there was any form of rest that we have, it should be in these times that we gather together and glorify God together. This should be the most restful thing that we do throughout our entire week, to be able to gather as the body of Christ, to be like-minded and have unity. As a matter of fact, we start talking about this word, this unity. It says, for we have received the good news just as they did, but the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith. For we who have believed enter rest in keeping with what he has said. When they say they were united in faith, I just get this mindset of a couple of things, right? And one of them is like the worship team this morning, right? So if the song set was all totally different, and I know that some of us think that if every song set was totally different, right? And let's say that Caleb said, I'll Fly Away is going to be the first song. And Jacob said, no, I'm going to go with He Reigns is the first song. And we're all going to just do our own song, right? And Darren's up there playing Freebird, you know, or whatever. And they all just get started at the same time, but they do their own thing away from the plan that was set up, it fails. It totally fails because they weren't united in the way that was set forth that brought the end result that they were looking for, right? If we are not united in Christ, if we don't realize that we have to have faith in Christ, if we don't build each other up, if we are a church full of individuals, then we are not a body of Christ. We are just simply parts. Just parts. Could you imagine being a finger without a hand? Wouldn't that be terrible? Could you imagine being part of the whole body without a heart, or not having your lungs, or not having your brain, or not having... So could you imagine that? Could you imagine being a knee without a leg to go on? That's why we have to be united. We have to be something that comes together with a purpose, and that's for the glorification of the Creator and Savior of the world. I was thinking about baseball season started this week, and I got thinking about it, and I thought, man, if the whole team just quit on you. See, baseball is thought of as one of the most somewhat individual sports as they're out there. A really good pitcher can change the entire game, right? Or, you know, if you've got a really good batter, he can really help your team out. However, whenever you get out there on the diamond and you get out there and start playing the game, when you're a pitcher and you don't have anybody there to catch the ball when you pitch it to them, does it work? When you're a pitcher and you can be the fastest pitcher in the world and you can run out there and pitch it, run to the outfield and somehow still catch a grounder that comes to third base, we're going to run back in and catch it, there's still no way you're going to get that out at first, because it takes a team. And you can get up there and every single time the first pitch comes up, you can hit a home run. But then you're going to have 8 outs ahead of you. If we're not united, if we're in the same way as a church, if we're just standing here as individuals, as if we are a pitcher playing a baseball game by ourselves, it just does not work. See, some of the best things that we can have, some of the best motivations that we can have is when we get out there and we get down. I try to teach my kids, and instead of going out and saying, why didn't you do that better? How come you can't do that better? Why did you lose us the ball game? We actually find and studies show that teams that work together and have a better attitude and are unified in purpose, you can take talent away from it and they still will win the ball game because they are like-minded and unified. See, we can take all the failures that we have and we can call each other out for those failures, but if we get unified in Christ, if we build each other up in Christ, if we are a church that seeks to build up instead of destroy, we have less worry about the people going astray. When we can come up and talk to somebody and say, hey, I love you enough, and you know that I love you enough because of the way that we interact with each other, the way that you see that I always push you to Christ. I'm coming to have this conversation with you because I seek for you to enter rest with me. I seek to look over. I imagine that day that I am just able to proclaim and sing the wonders of God right there in His presence, to be able to worship Him in His presence and to look over and to see each and every one of you. And for us to have that smile, that look on our face and say, this is what it was all about. All of the hurt, all of the pain, all of the working, all of the even the fights that we had to get through, the struggles that we had to get to, all of the thorns in our life, all of it, because we put our faith and love in Christ, it was worth it. It was worth it. We go back into Psalm 95, it says, and obviously this writer of Hebrews, because he keeps bringing up Psalm 95 over and over again, it's really important. And when we talk about this rest that he goes in, so I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. There is a reason that he is talking to the church here. I'm telling you, don't take lightly what we're talking about. Just because you think that you are in some religious form, okay, that's not enough. I need you in an intimate relationship with Jesus. What you think you have isn't enough. Do not hear those words that they will not enter my rest. Please, I'm begging you to know, to sit back and evaluate, am I just another person that has a religion that I'm part of, or do I have a relationship? Has everything that my life's been about, is it about just saying the words, or is it living out that life with Christ? Is it something that looks good? Is it something that's on the schedule, or is it a part, is it the entirety of who I am? Is loving Christ, is worshiping God something that I just can't not do, or is it something that I feel that I have to do? If I were to close my mouth, would my mouth be strong enough to be able to hold the praises that I have for God? Or is my love for Him stronger than this physical body? Is my care for Him stronger than my laziness? Are my failures heavy enough to be able to overcome His grace? And the answer is no. That grace is so much more. We're in a place now where people in fear, as Brian was talking about, Brian Estes bringing up this week, that we're in a place that people are so scared. We've got the possibilities of, and you keep hearing other world wars. There are people with literal bombs bursting outside of their houses. There are people crying out for help in this world. We're worried about what does tomorrow bring. Do we stand here? This is not a political thing. This is life. There are people literally living in death today. And we think that just simply what we have here, man, I'm so lucky. But I'm going to tell you, just as much fear as those people have with the bombs bursting outside of their homes, we should have that same fear if we don't have a relationship with Jesus in our life. If we don't understand and we aren't unified in the knowledge and the love and the relationship with Christ, we should be equally as fearful as World War III, IV, V, or VI. There are people that are literally dying for the gospel today. And as a church, we have to be in prayer for them. We have to be unified with them. This isn't a political statement. There are people that are hurting across the world just as much as there are people hurting right here in our very neighborhoods. There are people that will not ever understand rest. Don't take what you think today at lightly. Know today that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And it says, therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who have formerly received the good news did not enter it because of disobedience, he again specifies a certain day. Today. I don't care if you've been sitting in that same pew for 40 years or if you've been sitting there for 4 minutes. It doesn't matter. Today is the day to say, am I truly, or I thought I've been in a relationship my entire life. Right before some of us, it's so much easier actually. Somebody asked me one time, would you rather somebody that has absolutely no knowledge of Christ but understand that they have fallen and need a Savior, right? Is it easier to talk to somebody that's literally in the dumpster of life, in rock bottom, that is addicted and hurting or everything, or somebody that goes to church every single week and just thinks they're good and would fight you to the death thinking that they are good and not being there? Which one would you rather talk to? And I said, man, it's much easier to go to the people that are in the bottom of the pits, because those people understand their situations. However, I'm here to tell you, when we see and we understand our situations, man, we want to get out of them. And if we don't, eventually we will want to get out of them. However, if we are sitting there and we are being suffocated by being content, if we're being suffocated by thinking that everything's okay as long as I keep on going, that's the most dangerous place you can be. Being content with not being what God calls us to be is so dangerous. I don't need to be the best religious person in the world. I need to be loved, to be cared for, to know that I have a father that loves me, to know that I have a brother that died for me on that cross. That's what I need. I don't need a comfortable pew or a comfortable chair or a gray painted wall or beautiful beams or even a place to even be able to say that's where I'm going to gather every Sunday. Those things are nice, but that can be as dangerous a thing as not having any of that. All of those things can be dangerous if they're not implemented in the right way. You can Christian yourself straight into not having rest. And I say that because that word gets so confused. Christianity, once again, I tell you, is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with Christ. If your religion means more to you than Jesus, today is the day to reevaluate. Are you here because you feel obligated because the person sitting beside you wants you to be here? Or are you here today because your mouth can't hold anymore? It can't hold back his praises anymore. My hands can't stop working anymore. My body cannot reach out anymore. I have to proclaim the gospel. I have to, because he loved me. I have to love him back. Because he saved me, I have to be able to lay down my life for him. I will give him however many years he gives me here, knowing that I will have that rest. Once again, as we go back and forth from Genesis 2 to Psalm 95, he says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Don't say that preacher's just doing another thing. And he's just sitting there preaching the same gospel. He's preaching the same thing. It's just those words. I need something that I can go implement Monday morning because of a specific case. If you can implement anything, implement this. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Is he your Savior? Or not? Do you love him or not? Are you in a relationship with him or not? It says says, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. And we go back, if the promised land was enough, if that new job was enough, if all of those things, if Joshua's promised land that he is entering into would have been enough, then there wouldn't have been the proclamation that Jesus would one day be here. See, the actual physical winning of the land wasn't enough. The winning of the land signifies the power of God, but the death of the lamb, the slaughtering of his own son, the pouring out of the blood of Christ is where the true rest comes in. It wasn't in the fields. It wasn't in the homes. It wasn't in the waters. It wasn't in the sea. It wasn't in Moses. It wasn't in Kirill. It wasn't in the pews. It wasn't in the buildings. It wasn't in anything else other than the blood of the Savior. And it wasn't anywhere else but at the cross. If you truly today love to be in rest, if you seek to be in rest, know that the only rest is in the presence of God. And the only way to be in the presence of God is to have faith in the Savior of the world, Jesus, and to understand that grace of rest is freely given. Let's pray. Lord, I come to you today thankful, Lord, as we have the time to think about all the things that are going on in this world, Lord, that we know that there are people hurting across this world, Lord, that we also know there are people hurting here. And Lord, as we go into our lives, that we don't just seek to just finish our ministry here, Lord, but we seek to fulfill the ministry that you have set forth for us, Lord, that we don't seek to come up on Sundays so that we can be lazy, but we seek to come up on that time that our time here on earth is done so that we can come into rest, Lord, but that every second of our time here on earth that we devote it to you, that we faithfully give it to you, Lord. Lord, I love you and I thank you and I just seek you. Lord, allow us to get away from our thoughts of what the church is and what those things are, and allow us to truly know what it's like to be a part of the body, what it's like to be in your presence, what it's like to be in your grace, Lord, what it's like to be in your love. But don't allow our pride to get a hold of us, Lord. Don't allow us to harden our hearts just thinking that this religious game that we play is good enough. Or take away the game, take away the board, take away the bases or whatever, but just allow us when we sit there and we look out into this world, Lord, that we see you, that we see exactly what our purpose is, and that is to unite, to grab a hold of the ones that are aimlessly walking around, to point them to you, Lord. If we see fit to grab them up, to drag them, to love them to death, Lord, but that for us not to just give up and say, man, I'm just tired. Lord, allow us to only seek rest whenever your completion is done for our time here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So we go into this last song. You know, we don't usually do altar calls here. I think it's a really important time, but I was specifically asked. Brian said that he would love to come up here and pray with anybody that would love to pray for this world, and not just for the current wars that are going on, even though they are so important, but for literally the battles that are going on for whoever they are in your head today, or in your home, or in your workplace. If you have a heart that is just hurting for this world, that you're hurting for what's going on, come together, pray together, encourage each other.